بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله. نشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في سبيل ربه حتى أتاه اليقين. فصلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم تنزيله بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم، فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. وقال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. وقال: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and sisters, young friends in Islam, indeed on this auspicious day we are discussing various aspects of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In these few moments I would like to share with you what are some of the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayah kareema from Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rights Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has upon us. It's not sufficient that we just attend a jalsa of seerah and hear some of the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how great he was, and then we feel absolved of all our responsibilities and our duties to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is much more beyond that. Just like we learn what are the rights of our parents, what are the rights of our teachers, what are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the rights of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is very, very important that we are clear in understanding what are the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us. And I will try to stick to just this one ayah in front of me, that one I have recited in front of you in the beginning. Number one, let us examine the placement of this ayah in the Quran. Where is it placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the context in which it was revealed? This is mentioned in Surah A'raf. Surah A'raf is a surah of the Quran that in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incidents of various anbiya alayhi salam, various prophets. Right in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with the story of Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, our father and mother, and how they were in Jannah, and how they were expelled from Jannah on a mistake, and how they made tawbah to Allah, رَبَّنَا أَظَلَمْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Then Allah Ta'ala speaks about the people who did not make it into Jannah, but were saved from Jahannam. They were stuck in A'raf, and that is where the surah gains its name from. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in quick succession, one after another, He mentions the stories of various prophets. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Allah Ta'ala sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people and invited them, يَا قَوْمِ عَبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. O my people, worship one Allah, there is no God besides the one Allah. His story is mentioned about one page, followed by وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ. To the Qawm of Aad, we sent their Nabi of Allah, I sent my Nabi, Huda alayhi salam. And he came with the same message, يَا قَوْمِ عَبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. He said, worship one Allah, there is no other God besides Him. Takes about a page and a half. Then the next, after that, وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أخاهم صالحا. To Thamud we send our brother, their brother Salih. My Nabi, he came and invited. Then Walutan is قال لقومه. Then remember Lut. Walutan, أي يذكر Lutan. Remember Lut عليه السلام. He was also my Nabi. He came and invited the people towards Allah. About Shu'aiba. Then to the قوم of Madian or the city of Madian we send their brother Shu'aiba عليه السلام. About 3 pages of that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes a judgment about all of these nations together and says, تِلْكَ الْقُرَانَ قُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا. These are all the various towns we are narrating to you over on your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the news of their events. And most of them, they rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they faced the destruction, and they faced the destruction. After that, that Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his story begins, which that Nabi of Allah, the great Prophet of Allah, he's a Rasul of Allah, he's the one among, he's of the highest level of prophets. And he's the one who spoke to Allah directly, none other than Musa Kareem Allah. His story begins. ثُمَّ بَعْثْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ Musa. Then after that we send Musa alayhi salam with our signs. And Musa alayhi salam's story is very long in detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one page, second page starts with the example with him when he goes to Fir'aun and he is and in front of Fir'aun he's inviting him and the magicians accept Islam and goes on how they were saved and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved the Bani Israel and has brought the Torah, revealed the Torah, the book of guidance for them. Musa alayhi salam goes and makes ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 30 days. وَاعِدْنَا مُوسَى سَلَاسِينَ لَيْلَةً وَطُمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Then he has 10 more days. فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. Then he finishes 40 days of ibadah in seclusion before he receives the wahid. And he brings that Torah down to the people from the mountain of Tur and he tells them, this is the book of Allah, this is the commandments you must follow. And the people who were rejecting Musa alayhi salam, they say that how do we know this is from Allah? How do we know you're not lying and making this up? So Musa alayhi salam now is very much upset. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا لَا تَكُونَ كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى. Don't be like those who were harassing Musa alayhi salam. They gave him a lot of trouble and Allah mentions that in the Quran so that we can know that this is not how we should behave with our own Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these people are saying, we don't know. How do we know it's from Allah? What's the proof? So Musa alayhi salam, he says, okay, how can I prove it to you? They say, if you want to hear Allah ta'ala saying that this is the right book and it's not something that you made up. وَاخْتَارَ مُوسَى قَوْمَهُ سَبْعِينَ رَجُلًا لِمِيقَاتِنَا. Then Musa alayhi salam, he picked 70 people. 70 of the leaders of his people, of the Bani Israel, to take with him up to the mountain and they will hear now from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they heard with their own ears that Allah ta'ala is telling them, this is the book of that I have revealed on your Nabi Musa, you must believe in it. Then they again changed the story. وَيَقُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. They said, now we don't know where this voice is coming from. We want to see Allah with our own eyes. Even Musa alayhi salam himself could not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had asked Allah, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ. Oh my Lord, I want to see you. Allah ta'ala said, لَنْ تَرَانِي. You cannot see me in this dunya. You will see me in the akhirah. How could these people see Allah? Those who are rejecting Him, mocking Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got so angry that they heard it was sufficient that the Prophet of Allah came in and told them. They rejected that. Then after they heard and I'm telling them this is the Torah, you should believe in it, they still are saying, we want to see you. Then the earthquake came. And they all died. فلما أخذتهم الرجل قال ربي لو شئت أهلكتهم من قبل وإياي. موسى عليه السلام said, oh my Allah, now how am I going to go back and face the people? They're going to say, you took 70 of our choicest leaders and you killed them off. They're going to reject me when I go back. And they're going to perhaps kill me myself as well. أتهلكونا بما فعل السفهاء منا. Are you going to kill me and kill off us because of some foolish people? Please. Please have mercy on us and bring them back to life so I can go back and face my people. And while he's making this dua, this is where we are in the story. And this is very key to understand how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, loves you, each of the kids who are sitting in front of me. You are so beloved to Allah, as you are in the ummah of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are in the ummah of the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of us are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the discussion is taking place in Musa alayhi wa sallam, who is preceded by Shu'aib al-Islam, and before that was Lut, before that was Salih, before that was Hud, and before that was Nuh, and before that was Adam and Hawa alayhi wasalam. This is the stories of the prophets carrying on. We have not reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the story of Musa alayhi wasalam continues after this point as well. of how the cross and this and for 40 years they did not have any peace, and they were traveling, and how the different miracles that occurred. The story of Musa alayhi salam continues. So we are right in the middle of the story of Musa alayhi salam. Smack in the middle of the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes off on a tangent. He just goes totally off on a tangent and starts speaking about us and starts speaking about our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why the placement of this ayah is also key to understanding and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Right in the middle of the story of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is here. Now we have got the setting where we are. We are presently located in the middle of Surah Araf and right in the middle of Musa alayhi salam's story. Musa alayhi salam is standing on the tour making dua to Allah. وَاكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَ إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْكَ. Please, O Allah, decree your mercy for this people. Your perfect mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that perfect mercy that you're asking for, that is reserved for some special people who will come afterwards. رَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy, as far as general mercy is concerned, it encompasses everything. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, everything. Even the disbelievers, they're enjoying the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, according to one understanding. And if you want to take it to the akhirah, those are burning and being tortured in the fire of Jahannam, they're also in the mercy of Allah because they deserve worse than what they are receiving. So no one is outside the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, that special mercy that you are requesting for your people, فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا, I have decreed that mercy, لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيَتُونَ الزَّكَاءَ, those who fear me and they give the zakah, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they believe in my ayat, in my verses. So that's nothing unique with us. People in the past also gave zakah and feared Allah and they believed in the ayat. However, going further, Allah Ta'ala makes it very clear that this is exclusively for us. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَ الْأُمِّيَ, they are those who will follow that Nabi. Who is the Rasul? He's a messenger. He's a Rasul. He's a Nabi. He's a prophet. الأمي, the unlettered one. الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, he's the one, they find him written, or his signs are written in the Torah and Injil. Who is his prophet? He's the one, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, he invites towards good deeds. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, he forbids from sins. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, he makes the pure things halal. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ, and he makes the harmful things haram. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ, he removes the shackles and burdens of the previous sharia. What is this? This is not a place to talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, from وَالضُحَى till the end, we know the 22 surahs, they're praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the favors of Allah upon him, with some incidents of the and description of the qiyamah in between. Otherwise, that's where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being spoken about. We know in Surah Al-Hijrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the respect we have to show to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the first ruku. So that is a specific ayat wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the etiquettes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should show. The Sahaba are being educated how to treat him. However, we are talking about Musa alayhi salam, and right in the middle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that special mercy you are asking for these people, guess what? It's for those who are going to come afterwards. They are those who are going to believe in that prophet. And they are the, and that prophet, who is that prophet? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just goes and start talking and talking about him. This is like the poet said, I'll translate it, quoting Urdu, that koi guftugu ho lappar, koi guftugu ho lappar, tera naam aa gaya hai, teri madha karte karte ye maqam aa gaya hai, dare mustafa ka manzar meri chashme tar ke andar, kabhi subah aa gaya hai kabhi sham aa gaya hai, ye talab thi anbiya ki rukh-e mustafa ko dekho, ye talab thi anbiya ki rukh-e mustafa ko dekhen, یہ نماز کا وسیلہ انہیں کام آ گیا ہے. دو جہاں کی نعمتوں سے در در پر جو بھی مانگا میرے دامن طلب میں وہ تمام آ گیا ہے. الحمدللہ. And وہ جو پی کے شیخ سعدی بلغ العلا پکارے میرے دست ناتوا میں وہی جام آ گیا ہے. میرا قلب وہ حرا ہے جہاں وحی نات اتری, یہ صحیفہ محبت میرے نام آ گیا ہے. This is exactly what's happening here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Musa alayhi salam, and then he goes, starts talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. What does the poet say? For those of you don't appreciate or cannot understand Urdu, koi guftugu ho lappar, there's some other talk on the tongue. Some other subject is under discussion. Tera naam aa gaya hai, but the talk and the name of my beloved comes. And what do? Teri madha karte karte ye maqam aa gaya. I start praising you until I come to this position. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, it's like he is overcome with the love of his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he can't stop talking about him. He loves him so much. Who do we love at this stage? Most of the kids are sitting here, so love of the other type, perhaps we have not experienced, but at this stage, we may be eating cereal at home, breakfast, instead of talking about the breakfast or about the homework or school or what our parents are asking us, we see the picture of sports star, if you like, on the cereal box, so we start talking about that. We just go off the topic. Right? And then at different stages, different loves a person experiences, and this is the same thing that happened. We are sitting and eating, or we are working, we are transporting books from one library to another, and working hard, and in the middle somebody brought some pizza, and some students were sitting and eating. Everyone's eating pizza, and we're worried about how we're going to move these books. And randomly in the middle, with no context about it, one brother who was with us, newly married, he just said, "Oh, you know, my wife loves jalapeno peppers." Everyone's looking at him. Where did that come from? Right? Where did this come from? No one is asking. Then he's trying to explain himself that, "Oh, you know, what I meant is that when I'm eating with her, I take it off from my slice, I give it to her, and I was just wondering if any of you likes jalapeno, so then I could give it to you as well." It didn't. No explanation was acceptable. What it is this is what it is. That the thought is always there. This is how Allama Zurqani rahimullah in his Hasha ala al-Mawahib al-Dunya bil Manah al-Muhammadiyah, he mentions alamat al-muhibbi thalathun: an yakuna kalamuhu, an yakuna samtuhu fi fikr al-habib, wa kalamuhu fi dhikr al-habib, wa 'amaluhu ita'at al-habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That the alamat al-muhib, Allama Zurqani rahimullah, he mentions in a very famous book, Hashiyat Zurqani ala al-Mawahib al-Dunya, he says the signs of the lover are three. The signs of a lover are three. When he is silent, he is lost in fikr of his beloved. When he is silent, it's only because he is lost in the concern and remembrance of his beloved. And when he speaks the praise of his beloved. Somehow or another, he comes into the topic of discussion. And when he springs into action, it's only in obedience of his beloved. So my dear brothers and young friends, look, this is how Rasulullah is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Koi guftugu ho labbar. Musa alayhi's story is carrying on. Tera naam aa gaya hai. But the mention of Rasulullah finds its way in between there as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on. Time is short, so I will not translate the rest of those couplets. Perhaps later, if anyone is interested, I can explain them. And the Ahl-e Zawq Hazrat, they have already understood that. Alhamdulillah. Going on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises him. He said, those people, Musa alayhi, you are asking dua for perfect mercy is for those who follow that Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ar-Rasul al-Nabi al-Ummi, the unlettered one, the one who cannot read and write. So most of the kids are sitting here, you'll say, hey, why are we making so much effort to learn how to read and write? Why do our parents enforce upon us to make so much effort in school? We'll follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll also be unlettered. We'll also not learn how to read and write. He is a... لَغَدْ كَانَ رَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He had the best example in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did not know how to read and write. This is a defect. For others, it's a quality for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is an attribute of perfection for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it would be a defect in us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to learn, and has given so many virtues for learning, to read and write. He promoted education. Yet for him it was a great quality. How is that? How do we reconcile that? It is because the wisdom a person has, the intelligence a person has, to communicate effectively and to produce anything of substance, is always attributed to his education as a fruit of his education. And that fruit of the education, it refers and goes back the greatness to his teacher. A person may progress and become a great leader, Fortune 500 company chairman or president of a nation. Yet, whether it is recognized in our present culture of disrespect or not, his teacher of kindergarten who taught him A, B, C and 1, 2, 3, still has a certain right over him, because that is where his education began. If it wasn't for those first steps that were taken by this teacher for him and helped him on his way, he would never progress. And how, on the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no teacher from amongst mankind. No one can claim any share of the greatness that followed him in his life later on. Who is his teacher? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. علمني ربي فأحسن تعليمي وأدبني ربي فأحسن تأديبي. My Rabb, he's the one who taught me directly and he gave me the best education. He's the one who taught me akhlaq and character and morals and he gave me the best character and morals. No one can say that, yeah, he's speaking such wise statements. Guess what? I'm the one who taught him. No. He was Rasul al-Nabi al-Ummi. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on reminding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminding us, most importantly, that this knowledge that he has, وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. You did not know before. لَا تَخُطُوا بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَوْ تَابَرِينَ مُبْطِلُونَ. You do not write with your hand so that people, مُبْطِلُونَ, who would like to invalidate the Qur'an, would have an opportunity to discredit it. بَلْ وَآيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. In fact, these are clear signs for those hearts that have been blessed with knowledge. They will testify that this is truly the word of Allah only. وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that only those who are the open deniers of the truth, they can deny that this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how can a person who at the age of 40 had never spoken any statements of such a nature, who is the most truthful, most trustworthy, he begins to speak such a kalam, فِيهِ خَبْرُ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ وَرَبُ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ. It has accurate historical narrations of the past and completely 100% full predictions for the future, some of them which were actualized, realized in his own lifetime. And it has beautiful commandments for leading one's life in the present. How does he come with this kalam? It can only be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul al-Nabi al-Ummi. الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. He is found, his mention is found in Tawrat and Injil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophecies were mentioned in Tawrat and Injil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, يَجِدُونَ عَلَامَاتُهُ وَآثَارُهُ, that his signs, but rather يَجِدُونَهُ, he himself is found in Tawrat and Injil. Meaning so many descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were in Tawrat and Injil as if you can see him. You can see him in the Tawrat and Injil. The previous scriptures, and the Jews and Christians in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not deny this. They would have been up in arms. This is wrong. Where is it in Tawrat and Injil? They would have fought against this claim, if it was merely a claim. But there is no record of anyone rejecting this. Why? Because even in the corrupted form of Torah and Injil of today, there are definite signs of Rasulullah ﷺ present. We can check Izhar al-Haqab rahmatullah kiranwi, or we can look in what, you know, that has been taken by Ahmad Didat and explain further in layman terms for us to understand. This is something that our beloved Rasulullah ﷺ is mentioned in the previous scriptures. And in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, people among the Jews and the Christians who would want to appreciate the truth, they believed in that. One of the young kids like yourself, he was a Jew, and you were a Muslim, alhamdulillah, but he was initially a Jew. And he used to come and sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became sick. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit a sick boy, sick Jewish boy. And when he was on his deathbed, his father was sitting next to him reading from the Torah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this young man, asked this young boy like yourself, that, he asked, in fact, the father who was sitting next to him with the Torah, that I ask you in the name of that Allah who revealed the Torah on Musa. وَالَّذِي أَنزَلَ تَوْرَاتَ عَلَى مُوسَى. Do you find mention of my name in this book you're holding? He said, no. He rejected. That's why مَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They are in the anger of Allah. Knowingly they rejected the truth. So then, the son who was sick, he got up, he was weak, and he said, I swear by that Allah that you're asking, that my father is lying, your name is mentioned in this book and your signs are there. And I testify that you are the Messenger of Allah. And he passed away. And Rasulullah ﷺ came out of that house and his face was shining like a full moon. And he asked the Sahaba to perform his janazah and he said that, Alhamdulillah, Allah has saved another soul from the fire of Jahannam. يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. What does he do, this prophet? See, Rasulullah ﷺ is being described. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He invites towards good deeds. Everything here, Rasulullah ﷺ has invited us, every sunnah, whether you understand it or not at this stage, it is khair and good for you. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He forbids us from wrong things. Whatever Allah and His Rasul have declared halal for us, that is pure and good for us. يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلِيمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. What He has declared haram for us, that is bad for us. No matter how much the culture and our friends and other people in school and other people we know in our block, our neighborhood people there and doing so many other things, and our heart may go out to do, you know, be inclined towards those things. But we have to understand, if it has been declared halal, it is not because it's beneficial in any way. There's no benefit in that. يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. It is harmful for us. You may not be able to understand it at this stage, but we have to believe it is harmful for us. And since halal and haram have been mentioned, and prohibitions have been mentioned, do you think that this is difficult? Guess what? It's not.
وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ. The previous commandments, they were shackles and they were difficult. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and removed that from us. This deen that we have is very easy. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for us. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. This deen is very easy for us. Look at the previous commandments, how difficult they were. If some impurity came on a clothes, you can wash it. They had to cut it off. In the battlefield, whatever spoils of war came, it was haram for them. وَحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمُ. For this ummah, it's halal. If a person, you know, accidentally killed somebody, then there was no choice, but it was only qisas. Now a person can give fidya and ransom and free his life. There are so many commandments in this deen which are easier than the commandments of the past. Halal animals, we think, oh, we can't eat that burger and this, at least we can eat halal meat. حَرُمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا إِلَّا مَا حَمِلَ ظُهُورُهُمَا. Allah Ta'ala had made the fat of halal animals even haram for the Jews in the past as a punishment. Allah has made it halal for us. So this is وَيَدَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ. The difficult commandments, they're not for us, they were for the previous people. So this is a description of Rasulullah. Then what is the topic? The rights of Rasulullah. Four rights are mentioned. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ. These four rights. Allah Ta'ala is saying, those who fulfill the four rights of Rasulullah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the successful ones. And whom is added, meaning these are the only successful ones. These are the successful ones. These are the only successful ones. Those who fulfill the four rights of Rasulullah. What are they? آمَنُوا بِهِ. They believe in him. We have to believe in him. What do we have to believe? If someone says that he is a messenger of Allah, if someone says that I do not know, I mean, I believe in him as a philosopher, I believe he's a great leader, I believe he was a great humanist, and he taught lessons to humanity, then that's not enough. آمَنُوا بِهِ, we have to believe he is a messenger of Allah. We have to believe he received revelation from Allah. And we have to believe he is the seal of the prophets. He is the last of the line of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. مَسَلِي وَمَسَلُ الْأَنْبِيَا مِنْ قَبْلِي. Rasulullah said, my example of the people, Anbiya before me, كَمَسَلِي رَجُلٍ بَنَا بَيْتًا فَأَجْبَلَهُ وَأَحْسَنَهُ. Like a man who built a beautiful mansion and beautified it, has all the amenities and all the commodities and all the luxury items. People come and look around, and they're very surprised and amazed to see everything. إِلَّا مَوْضِ عَلَى بَنَةٍ. Except for one brick is missing. And they say, what is that? Why is this one brick missing? And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I am that last brick. وَأَنَا خَاتُمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. I am the seal of the prophets. Last prophet. No prophet to come after me. So we have to believe in that. This is what he means, آمَنُوا بِهِ. To believe he is the messenger of Allah. We have to believe whatever he said. التصديق بجميع ما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إجمالا فيما علم إجمالا وتفصيلا فيما علم تفصيلا من غير إمارة التكذيب. من حيث أنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have to believe. From the bottom of our heart, we have to have the conviction in the entirety of the message that he brought to us. When he mentioned briefly, we believe in brief. When he mentioned in detail, we believe in each detail. Without any outward sign of rejection. من غير إمارة التكذيب. And we believe what he's saying, not because he's a great philosopher, or a leader, or a wise person, but because he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what it means to believe in him. And not to have any doubts. التصديق لا يقول شك. This yaqeen cannot have any room for doubts. We have to believe. Like Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, he said, أَرَانَا الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعِمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوْقِنَاتٌ أَنَّ مَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ. That he is the one who showed us the right path when we were lost in darkness. We were blinded. عِمَى. But now our hearts have 100% conviction. Whatever he said is waqi'u, is going to come. It has to come. Our eyes can see wrong. Our ears can hear wrong. Our hearts may believe wrong. Our minds may think wrong, but what has emanated from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that can never be wrong. This is iman billah, bil Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to believe in him. وَعَزَّرُوهُ. And we have to respect him. We have to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to respect his sunnah after he has left us. And the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they had the utmost respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a topic, as I mentioned earlier, has been taken up in Surah Al-Hujurat in more detail, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the respect that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam deserves. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Don't go ahead of Allah and the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. Don't speak ahead of him. Don't speak when he is speaking. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Do not raise your voice over his voice. ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض. Don't call out unto him loudly like you call out unto your friends. What will happen if you disrespect Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم? You know what's going to happen. The outcome is very serious. Very, very serious indeed. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. It will invalidate all your past good deeds. وَأَنْتُوا لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You will not even perceive the loss you suffered. You will lose everything if you disrespect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something very, very important. One is we cannot follow every single sunnah because we are weak. But another is to disrespect the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum and our Asalaf and our elders, they used to hold on to things firmly and never let them go. Azwa alayhi bin Nawajis, like the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was a sunnah. Why are they holding on to it, this practice? Because it is a sunnah. And that is the same very reason that we are leaving things. We say, what is that? That's just sunnah. Okay, so we can leave it. The reason for abandoning practices of deen is because it is merely a sunnah for us. And the reason they used to hold on to those very practices, same practices, it is because it is the sunnah of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and show the respect to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can never utter any statement of disrespect to any single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter how insignificant it may seem to us. This is a right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us. And disrespect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the outcome of that is very disastrous. وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ. We have to aid Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Physically aid him. When he was alive, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would come to the aid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that under the tafsir of the ayah of Surah Al-Ahzab, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ, the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greater than the right we have, that our body has on us. You know, you have the right of your parents, you have the rights of your teachers, your children, or your cousins, your siblings, right? You have the right of your own body upon yourself too, isn't it? You have to take care of your body. This is aman Allah given you. But the right your body has on you, the right of Rasulullah is greater than that. What does that actually mean? Give us an example. The example the scholars give is that in a theoretical situation, hypothetical situation, if you are there and Rasulullah is there, and both of you are in halat al-makhmasa, in a condition of extreme hunger, starvation, you have now reached the point that if you will not eat, you will die. You will die from dehydration and you have no sugar in your body to continue your cellular processes, you're going to die. And there's just enough, few morsels of food. And Rasulullah is in a similar condition. There is no option, it is thrown on you to die and allow Rasulullah to eat. This is what it means. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. So this is the right of Rasulullah. وَنَصَرُوا, we have to physically, when he is alive, help him and aid him. But that is past. And now his deen, his sharia is still there, till the day of Qiyamah. To defend his sunnah, to defend his way of life, to implement it in our own lives, become the model and representative of that sunnah throughout the world, this is the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَنَصَرُوا. How far have you fulfilled that? And وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ مَعَهُمْ. And then you have to follow that nur that has come with him. What is the nur that has been revealed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The light is the Qur'an. It's turned as a nur. Various reasons. Just like the nur, is there light, is there sun outside or not? You do not need any external proof to prove the sun. The existence of the sun by itself is badihi, meaning it is, in fact, is given as an example. Azhar min ash-shams, this is just like the sun. The sun does not need any external proof for its existence. Similarly, the Qur'an does not need any external proof that this is a book of Allah. Just studying the Qur'an, looking at the Qur'an itself, you will find so many evidences that will lead us to no other conclusion, but this is the revealed book of Allah. Another reason why it's termed as nur is just like the light. It emanates, it illuminates and removes and dispels darkness. Similarly, the Qur'an, the nur of the Qur'an, it removes the darkness from the heart. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ مَعَهُ, that they follow the nur that has been revealed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So following the Qur'an is that has been revealed on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned as a right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. My dear respected brothers, let us look at this ayah. The beginning word in the ayah began with ittiba'. يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيِّ, that they make ittiba', they follow Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ending of the ayah is also يَتَّبِعُونَ النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ مَعَهُ, they make ittiba', they follow the nur that has been revealed on him, the Quran. So following the sunnah of Rasulullah and following the Quran, this is the summary, this is the khulasa, this is the gist of the entire message of our deen, that we have to follow sunnah and we have to follow the Quran. We have to follow Quran, follow sunnah. And in the middle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us what is the nature of that obedience. We have to follow the rules of the road. When you learn how to drive, you learn the rules of the road how to drive. Why are you stop at the red light? Because you love the Secretary of State of Illinois. You don't have to necessarily love him. It's great if you love him, if he's a good person, you love him as a human being. But you know, beyond that, you know, you make dua for his hidayah. Why do you have to stop at the red light, stop at the stop sign? Because it's the rule, you have to do it. Is that the type of ittiba that we have of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Just because he said so, we got to do it? just because their parents said so, just because it's a sunnah, just because the teacher here in a madrasa in a school like guidance or something, that's just the uniform. No other choice. No, no, no. That's not the type of itiba'. The nature of that obedience has been explained in the middle. And that is, it should be based out of love and respect. We have to love Rasulullah ﷺ because he has everything that is worthy of being loved. He has Kamal Jamal Nawal. He has all the sifat, that requirements of love. He has it. He is perfect in his attributes. It has been mentioned before me. My brother talked about love of Rasulullah ﷺ. So we love Rasulullah ﷺ. We respect Rasulullah ﷺ. And this is what motivates us to obey him. Not out of force or compulsion. My dear respected young friends, this is something that we can learn and take much more time can be discussed. We can discuss, but the time has now come for the Salat Zuhr, inshallah. I will just leave you with this point to reflect upon, that even when I talk to non-Muslims and who are learning about Islam, I tell them that if you want to individually on your own study Islam and come to the conclusion that this is the right path, just objectively study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, study his life, and you will have no choice but to admit that he was none other than the Messenger of Allah. Study the Quran and see how this can, it is impossible. Ayatun bayyinat, these are clear signs that this is a revealed word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can deny it who has an open mind. So we have been born in Muslim families, alhamdulillah, most of us, majority of us sitting here, and we have gotten this as a, we have inherited this legacy, but we have to come to individually understand and appreciate and accept. Then only we will enjoy the true fruits of our deen. And how can we do so? By studying the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu in greater depth, and studying the Quran, then we will learn. And we will come to this conclusion on our own accord, that alhamdulillah, raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasulam wa nabiyya. I am pleased to declare that Allah is my Rabb. Not just Allahu Rabbi, Allah is my Rabb. Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased, proud, happy to declare that Allah is my Rabb. Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my prophet, and Islam is my deen. Does this ring a bell? What is these three statements? This is the answers to the questions in the grave. These are the answers to the question in the grave. Man rabbuka ma deenuka man nabiyuk. We have to repeat these phrases three times every morning, every evening. Three times every morning, every evening, after Fajr, after Maghrib. Make this a practice. This is small homework for you. Start from now. This is preparation for your test. The test is coming in the grave. The three questions will be asked. You know the three questions. Who is your Rabb? Man rabbuk? Who is your Nabi? Or man hazal rajul? Who is this man? Man nabiyuk? That question. And third one is that what is your deen? So the answers to these three questions, we got to start practicing every day. Every day after Fajr, after Isha. It's mandatory for all of us. We should recite this statement three times. Ponder and reflect over it, and inshallah the reality will come in our heart. What are we going to say? Raditu billahi. You can repeat after me. Raditu billahi rabba. Wa bil islami deena. Wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رسولا ونبيا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا. Inshallah, we will pass with flying colors in the grave in the day of Qiyamah if Allah brings reality this into our lives. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.